Good afternoon. So on January 14th, avian influenza was suspected in turkey flocks on a single farm in Du Bois County, Indiana, and depopulation began. On January 15th, the next day, highly pathogenic avian influenza, H7N8, was confirmed at the National Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory in Ames, Iowa, and was found to be of North American lineage. ISDH was notified and the response began. On January 16th, depopulation was completed on the HPAI farm. However, 9 additional farms were confirmed or suspected of having lowly pathogenic avian influenza, and depopulation was began. Despite freezing temperatures and equipment malfunctions, depopulation was completed on January 20th, 5 days after the first confirmation of avian influenza in these turkey flocks. Within Indiana, Indiana is the fourth largest turkey producer in the United States with approximately 19 million turkeys, or 8% of all U.S. production. This amounts to about $554 million of production value each year. Du Bois County is the largest turkey producing county within Indiana with approximately 1.4 million birds. 258,000 birds, or 18% of the annual production, was culled during the outbreak. In addition, 156,000 laying hens were also culled due to their proximity to the affected farms. For the ISDH response, following notification, ISDH developed our incident command structure and linked to the State Emergency Operations Center under Emergency Support Function 8, with the Board of Animal Health being the primary response and lead agency. ISDH developed worker health monitoring guidance based on the USDA, CDC public health monitoring procedures for avian influenza responders. Within the cycle of pre-deployment, deployment, and post-deployment, the overall goal is preventing the transmission of influenza to the human population. ISDH guidance identified 2 levels of risk, some and low risk, which is just a naming modification from the high and low risk in the federal guidance document. For those of low risk, those would be persons living, working, or responding on the HPAI or LPAI affected farms. Those in the some risk category had contact with sick or dead birds or their waste products without wearing appropriate personal protective equipment. During this outbreak, lowly pathogenic avian influenza was treated the same as highly pathogenic avian influenza. The high path versus low path designation refers only to the severity in the poultry population and not to the potential severity within the human population. Ideally, we would have provided mobilization instructions to persons as they mobilized for the response, similar to the USDA mobilization packet, but at the time, we did not have our plan created. Once daily, similar to the guidance, federal guidance, once daily, persons responding during the outbreak, persons who were responding and for 10 days afterwards were asked to monitor their temperature for symptoms monitor themselves for their for temperature and respiratory symptoms. Persons who were designated as some risk were monitored by the local health department. If a person develops symptoms at any point, respiratory specimens, both nasopharyngeal and oropharyngeal, were requested for testing at the ISDH laboratory for influenza and other respiratory pathogens. Persons with conjunctivitis had ocular swabs collected as well. This slide shows some of the algorithms that were developed during the response. The algorithm on the left was used to assist the local health department in identifying and designating people of some and low risk. And the flow sheet on the right was for individuals who were still in response mode, if they developed symptoms at any point, or had an occupational injury, or had other medical concerns while they were responding. So looking at the numbers for the response, approximately 500 persons from the federal, state, and local agencies responded in this outbreak, both on and off the affected farms. 139 were monitored specifically by the Indiana State Department of Health, and 14 developed symptoms. Of those 14, 12 were tested at ISDH laboratories for influenza A and B and other respiratory symptoms, respiratory viruses, and zero tested positive for influenza A or B. One specimen did test positive for coronavirus OC43. Specifically, areas for improvement included focusing human health monitoring in the state highly pathogenic avian influenza response plan, and with a focus on needing to receive the worker health or worker lists, both on the responder side and of the farm workers. Also, safety officers should be aware of, correct, and document breaches in personal protective equipment. There were several instances that we heard of individuals with beards wearing N95 masks, tears in the suits that they were wearing, and that were not documented, as well as misuse of goggles and other personal protective equipment. And then specifically for ISDH, needing to develop an electronic system for monitoring all of the health, all of the workers and responders who we were monitoring. The current system that we were using was focused on using Excel spreadsheets transmitted between the local health department and the state health department for monitoring. So in summary, this was the first outbreak to implement the guidance that was released in fall of 2015, and we knew it would not be perfect, and there are areas for improvement. One of those is a workshop that will, some of those will be discussed at a workshop between the USDA and states this coming up this August. And communication, it was key in the response. On a daily basis, ISDH held a conference call with the CDC, the local health department, the hospital, and the USDA liaison. And ultimately, the avian influenza-infected turkeys were depopulated, and Indiana's rapid response to the H7N8 HPAI outbreak resulted in limited human health and economic impact. Thank you.
Thank you. There's one quick question out there. We can take that.
Hi, I was curious how timely it was for you guys to receive the list of individuals that needed to be monitored, mm-hmm. and who ultimately got that list for you, because that's something we're kind of struggling with in West Virginia.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was actually the longest delay that we had was from the time that we were requesting the list from the State Emergency Operations Center to the time that we actually got it. And it was in part through the local health department who one of their individuals knew some of the farm owners and were able to start getting lists that way. And it wasn't through any, like, the Board of Animal Health, who had their hands busy doing the depopulation efforts, and USDA, who arrived, shortly after this was identified. I think they were day two, perhaps, when the USDA incident commander arrived on scene. And so it was a delayed process. We were able to start looking into it with the local contacts.
Thank you.
Thank you.